Good afternoon, Thursday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. Dry weather should stay around the northern plains through Saturday. This will help dry out the fields in eastern North Dakota, but the western Dakotas will become in more need of rainfall. High temperatures will be in the 60s and 70s today, warming into the 80s and lower 90s by early next week. According to World Weather Incorporated, some shower and thunderstorm activity is possible next Sunday through Tuesday. Much of the precipitation will be sporadic, amounting from a trace to a quarter inch. Greater changes of rain are likely in the second week of June, along with cooler temperatures.
Sunflower planting is underway for many farmers across the region. According to USDA, the average sunflower yield has increased by 15 pounds per acre since 1990. NDSU Extension broadleaf crops agronomist Hans Condell says growers should keep that in mind during planting.
Because of breeding and increase in management, we have seen that the sunflower yields in North Dakota have slowly been increasing over the years. And so they're actually increasing with on a rate of about 15 pounds per year, that the yield potential is increasing. So that's a good thing, that we are getting better genetics, and in general, farmers are taking better care of the crop, and we can see that increase over the years. So that is fantastic.
In today's NDSU Extension Crop and Pest Report, Condell reviews sunflower recommendations. Factors such as row spacing, weed control, disease pressure can impact yields at harvest time. Farmers should aim to plant for a plant population between 20 and 22,000 on heavier soils.
So sunflower, of course, makes one head. It has not the ability to, you know, branch out like some of the other crops, like canola. So once the plant is missing, we miss the opportunity to have there a yield contributing head. So therefore, it is very critical to get planting done as accurately as possible, so that we can get an even stand. So we may consider also applying a fungicide or insecticide seed treatment so that the seed is protected.
Hallock, Minnesota farmer Eric Youngren plans to wrap up planting today.
You know, we started seeding April 28th, and now it's almost the end of May. Had a few busy days, and then, of course, we had the rain last week. We had an inch of rain, and that was fantastic, and now we've dried out again and getting back into the field. So we should be finishing wheat and soybeans here in the next day or two. And sugar beets got in the ground before it rained last week, and they're poking through, and everything's looking good right now. So we get some sunshine and warm weather, and it's going to look real good around here. I think we'll cover up the scars from last year, and everybody's very anxious to see some new green coming out and not the ruts and the disasters from last year.
While much of Kitson County, Minnesota, shows abnormally dry conditions on the drought monitor, Youngren says the fields are in okay shape.
Hey, we've got good moisture here now. We've had two rain events this spring. Of course, we're in the flood area, too, so that changes things a little bit. The frost was late coming out this year, too, and so that kind of made things slower. But I'd say we're in really good shape. We get some sunshine now and a normal rainfall through June, and we'll be looking pretty good.
On Four Hill Farms near Barnesville, Minnesota, farmer Jake Thompson says planting wrapped up about 1 week ago. Now priorities shift to spraying weeds and cutting alfalfa.
My brother's been in the sprayer pretty hard here the last 2 days, getting sugar beets and started spraying some of the wheat. We actually cut alfalfa on Monday, so we're going to continue working on some of that equipment here, and we're kind of watching the weather here, and I think we were actually talking about maybe cutting some more either tomorrow or the day after, depending on when the field on Monday is going to be ready. So that's really taking off and growing here with the heat and a little bit of moisture. We got about 7/10 of rain here Tuesday. In our area, that's about what we've got.
Thompson says there are still farmers in the area planting soybeans. Some farmers also continue to combine corn.
Some of that, I've been told, has been kind of a struggle. Doesn't seem like that ground is really wanting to dry out with the standing corn. around. So I think there will be some preventive plant acres in our area as things progress here. But as for us here, we're kind of up in the hills. We had a little earlier start than a lot of guys, and we did push through and get everything harvested last fall.
As expected, weekly ethanol production inched slightly higher during the week ending May 22nd. The report from the Energy Information Administration reports ethanol production up 9% from the previous week to 724,000 barrels per day. Ethanol stocks were down 500,000 barrels to 23.2 million.
Grain traders are watching the weather and ethanol production. Allendale Chief Strategist Rich Nelson would like to see ethanol production ramp up a little quicker as more and more people begin driving.
That sure is right. And we hope to get this rebounding here, but the question is how much and how quickly. So certainly we're a little concerned that this ethanol rebound has been a little sluggish compared with that gasoline demand here.
While not a factor yet, Nelson says weather in the southern plains will become more important for the wheat market as temperatures climb.
This is considered a neutral issue, especially after we got this these rains the past few days in much of the western Corn Belt. Certainly, though, they're concerned about net drying as we go into June and July. That's something we'll have to talk about yet again here. And many people question, especially based on this recent Kansas wheat tour, if this crop is going to be able to fill correctly or not. So certainly a lot of questions.
The U.S. House passed a bill this afternoon to make changes to the Paycheck Protection Program. The Paycheck Protection Program Flexibility Act will extend the PPP period from 8 to 24 weeks and lower the minimum used for payroll from 75% to 60%. The Senate still needs to pass the legislation for this change to go into effect. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. This morning, North Dakota Senator John Hoeven hosted a call with local farm groups to get feedback on the coronavirus food assistance program's direct payments. In the discussion, North Dakota Soybean Growers Association President Joe Erickson asked North Dakota Farm Service Agency Executive, State Executive Director Brad Tickeson for clarification on how unharvested acres would be handled for inventory.
Hard to quantify those bushels if you haven't harvested. You have to remember that this program runs till August 28th. And like I said to a lot of producers yesterday or the previous day, is that by August 28th, you should have that corn harvested. If you haven't done it by August 28th, I would assume the mower is going to be the thing that's going to take it down or whatever. So my advice to producers is that just wait till you combine it and count it as inventory or count it as production. Of course, you got to, you know, adhere to this forward sales thing. There is actually some corn out there that's been forward sold for an ethanol delivery probably in July and probably go right from the field right to that ethanol plant. But as far as your 50% production, I would just delay our application and get that corn harvested and apply with those bushels as your production. So it is eligible.
North Dakota Stockmen's Association Executive Director Julie Allingson said while the program is a step in the right direction, there are limitations to the program for cattle producers.
And that bright line April 15th date is what's catching many of our producers and kind of making them fall outside the gap. A couple of the scenarios were alluded to, you know, whether it be feeder cattle that had not been sold at that time or sold after that period, the feeders who sought a bid and could not get a bid because of packing capacity limitations and others. And so that's really probably the area that I think would should take the most emphasis as we look at some supplementary funding in a second round. Is looking at those later kind of second quarter tier payments, which right now is at that flat $33 per head.
More funding will be needed for the program. Senator Hoeven also updated on those funding options.
There's a couple different funding options that we're pursuing to try to get more help out in that would tend not to go to the quarter one losses, but to the later losses.
And farmers were reminded the direct payments are not on a first-come, first-served basis. They can take their time, finish up an application with sign-up open through August.
On behalf of the Governor's Biofuels Coalition, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz sent a letter to congressional leadership today asking leadership to include biofuels in the next COVID-19 relief package. According to the letter, nearly three-quarters of the nation's ethanol plants are still fully or partially idled. There are two bills being considered in the House and Senate to provide relief. The coalition is asking for support from the legislation.
As the U.S. and the United Kingdom begin trade negotiations, Northern Soy Marketing, a Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota grower leaderboard, is voicing their opinion on soybean export barriers. The board sent a letter to Chief Agriculture Negotiator at the office of the U.S. Trade Representative Greg Dowd earlier this month, outlining three barriers to address, including biotechnology and mandatory GMO labeling. That board would like the U.S. to address these challenges again as these negotiations continue.
Titan Machinery is reporting fiscal year 2021 first quarter revenue of $310 million. Titan Machinery's chief financial officer, Mark Kalvoda, says that's an 11.5% increase over last year.
Our parts and service business continued to generate solid results in the first quarter, increasing 9% and 12.1% respectively. The agriculture segment led the way with another quarter of double-digit growth compared to the prior year quarter.
Revenue in the agriculture segment was up nearly 26%, primarily driven by strength in equipment sales.
Our focus in this area continues to be complemented by an aging customer fleet, and the addition of the Northwood location also added to the year-over-year results.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz has signed the Supplemental Ag Finance Bill. It includes funding for farm safety and mental health. There's grants for meat processors affected by COVID-19 and money for the University of Minnesota Veterinary Diagnostic Lab to prepare for foreign animal diseases like African swine fever. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. A new campaign aims to help farmers overcome stress. To support farmers' well-being, the American Soybean Association, United Soybean Board, and state soybean organizations have teamed up to offer the hashtag SoyHelp to support farm families. Here's American Soybean Association Senior Director of Marketing and Communications, Wendy Brannon.
These resources will be circulating out there. There will also be editorials and personal stories from people who have personal experiences with having lost someone through suicide or just experiencing farm stress. If this does not apply to you, it could apply to someone you know. So help us amplify this message by sharing on your own social media channels. And we just ask that you help us combat this issue.
A recent survey from the soy industry found stress is high in farm country, stemming from low prices, trade issues, weather conditions, and now the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Brannon says the survey showed an opportunity to help farmers through tough times.
The survey really just said to us, here is an opportunity to see what we can do to make a difference. So we came up with the idea of a national outreach campaign called Soy Help, hashtag Soy H-E-L-P. And through that campaign, we are working with states and United Soybean Board to put resources out there for individuals on any array of emotional concern.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, July Minneapolis wheat up 7 at 5.20 and a quarter, July Chicago wheat up 10 and three quarters at 5.15 and a quarter, July Kansas City wheat up 12 and three quarters, July corn up 8 and a quarter at 3.28 and three quarters, December corn up 6 and three quarters at 3.41 and a quarter, July soybeans down 2 at 8.46 and a half, November beans down a half at 8.55. In livestock markets, June live cattle currently up 70 cents at 101.50. August live cattle up 40 cents at 101.12. August feeder cattle up $1.75 at $135.77. October up 92 cents. June lean hogs down $3 at $57.17. July down $3.50. Taking a quick look at the farm calendar, lots of webinars continue. The NDSU Extension Agriculture Market Outlook Series will hold a webinar tomorrow about the noon hour. And then next week, the North Dakota FFA Virtual State Convention is taking place. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.